Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. We're going to be continuing a discussion today that we've had a few times in the past few weeks. You know, there's been those horrific attacks that were in the news that just fanned the flames of the anti-Second Amendment crowd, as well as socialist presidential candidates and politicians. It's causing such division in this land. It hasn't been seen since the Civil War. Now, today's guest is Mark Walters. Mark is a national board member of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. He's broadcast media spokesman for the Second Amendment Foundation. He hosts two nationally syndicated radio broadcasts, the American Armed Radio and Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, which is heard on hundreds of stations across the country for over 10 years now. He's recipients of numerous awards, author of three books. He's appeared on national and international television, as well as national, international, local radio programs. And he's been guest speakers around the nation on this topic. And he's here with us today on the program. Help me welcome to the program, Mark Walters. Mark, thanks for joining us, man.
Oh, thanks for having me, Pastor Bob. Looking forward to it.
Hey, man. Now, I know, you know, we have to put this out there fairly quick, so I want to give you an opportunity right off the bat to give us your contact information in case someone wants to get in touch with your organization or wants to ask a question or give you some support. Can you go ahead and give us that?
Yes, my email, if you want to reach out to me directly, I encourage the conversation, is mark@armedamericanradio.org. That's mark@armedamericanradio.org. Unfortunately, I have to be in that hateful space known as Twitter because of what I do for a living, unfortunately, that... Yeah. It's my recommendation to your listeners, if you don't need that garbage for work, don't waste your time. Go enjoy your life and get off of that social media crap. It's going to do nothing but ruin you. It's terrible. But that's at AAR Mark, should you be unfortunate enough to have to be on Twitter, at AARMARK. And, of course, Second Amendment Foundation, the organization doing God's work. Right now in about 35 courtrooms across the country, just filed another case last week. I can't really speak too much about it because I haven't seen all the details yet, but it's in California, and we are winning the nation's firearms freedoms back one lawsuit at a time. And that's Second Amendment Foundation. It's SAF.org. A life membership to help us is only $150, and we'll take whatever donation that you can toss our way. I do have to say this, that it is that organization, the Second Amendment Foundation, Pastor Bob, that is now responsible for 85% of the pro-gun wins in the nation's courtrooms across the country over the last 40 years. So it's a very, very important organization. God bless them for being there.
Amen. Amen. Let's talk about what happened in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio. I mean, tragic, horrific events, yes. But, you know, like the one in El Paso, the mall, that's designated as a gun-free zone. Why would a criminal want to carry a weapon into a gun-free zone? Don't they realize that we as a society think that everybody should honor that? I mean, what's wrong with them? Why don't they obey the laws? And why do politicians think they will?
Well, you know, you ask the question and you answer the question rhetorically right there. But the fact of the matter is, Pastor Bob, as you know, and your listener understands that, you know, criminals don't follow the law. Right. And that these laws only attack law-abiding people. Law-abiding people are the only ones that follow laws. We cannot legislate, as you well know, morality and evil. We can't. Yeah. There are evil people on earth that do evil things. And the only way to stop evil is to kill it and eradicate it when we have an opportunity. And when you remove the opportunity from me to be able to protect myself and defend myself from evil, you are enabling evil's existence to grow. And it's tragic that it happens. And, you know, I can say this on the heels of, first of all, very quickly, El Paso and Dayton, very personal for me. I had to pick the phone up and call a number of friends in El Paso to see that they weren't there. I've been to that complex there. Yeah, I did a lot of business out there in El Paso. So I know it well. And I called three different people to say, you guys are okay, right? No, none of your family was there. Dayton, Ohio, every Thanksgiving and every Christmas, every funeral and every wedding, most every wedding I've ever been to since the day I was born was in Dayton, Ohio, because that's where my mother and father's parents are from. My wife's family is from. I have over 80 first cousins. My mom has 16 brothers and sisters. They're all in and around the Dayton, Ohio area. I've been to Ned Pepper's. I've stood on that street where that shooting occurred. I know people who were there that night up until 11. And my niece's, get this, my niece's best friend's brother was shot in the arm. The photograph in the hospital of President Trump with the individual, the young man in the cast, was a very good friend of my niece. And my, get this, sister-in-law knew the killer as a professional photographer and, of all places, Dayton, Ohio. She took his high school photographs. This is personal for me. Yeah. I wouldn't stop more than anybody else. And what I do know is, when you asked that original question almost rhetorically and answered it at the same time, I can tell you this with certainty. What happened in El Paso and happened in Dayton was not a result of the guns in my safe or the guns in your safe, listener, or the guns in the safes of over 150 million of us.
Yep.
That much I can tell you with certainty.
Yeah, amen. And the shooting in Ohio, you know, that was a person allegedly with mental problems. I mean, you know, didn't he know he wasn't supposed to have a gun? I mean, as a former cop, I appreciate the quick response those officers did, you know, because, you know, 30 seconds on the scene, taking down the suspect, that was awesome. I mean, who knows how many lives they saved, you know, but, you know, these things, like you said, the gun isn't the one pulling the trigger. It's the human finger connected to the mind that's doing it, you know, and they said he had body armor on. You know, should civilians be authorized to have body armor?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, well, I agree.
Body armor has that with the body armor. Yeah, of course. Yeah, Pastor Bob. Yeah, why not? Yeah, of course we should be able to. You know, there's a couple things I want to address here. Number one, first of all, the response from law enforcement. 30 seconds. This evil individual was knocked down in 30 seconds and it ended. And law enforcement on that scene, no doubt, saved well over 100 lives. Had he gotten in that bar, it went into Ned Pepper's, it would have been carnage.
Yeah.
But he was stopped. He was stopped by an individual with another firearm, by the way, other individuals with firearms. But in that 30 seconds, he was able to wound 26 people and kill 9.
Yeah.
Or 12, we'll have, I forget what the number was in Dayton, but he was able to do that damage in 30 seconds. Parkland, armed response. Forget the fact he was a coward and didn't go in. It was an armed response in 1 minute and 39 seconds. He chose not to go in, but the fact that I'm pointing to is that there was an armed response in 1 minute and 39 seconds. In 1 minute and 38 seconds that preceded that armed response, 20 people were shot, 9 fatally. 20 people shot, 9 fatally. No matter how fast law enforcement gets there, and guess what? I don't care if it's a handgun, if it's a rifle, it doesn't make any difference. You're going to have a disaster on your hands when good people are banned from defending themselves. And I'll finalize the Parkland in this conversation with this one point. 13 members of the commission that studied Parkland, every one of them went into it against arming teachers until they saw the video footage of the carnage and realized evil could have been stopped on 5 separate occasions had someone there been able to stop him.
Yep.
All 13, unanimous, came back recommending arming our teachers because they knew and they understood when they saw it, this is the only way to stop this. Gun-free zones kill people. Killers know it. That's why they tell us they go there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Great Britain, you know, other countries around the world have very, very strict laws on gun control, and yet they see people being stabbed or run over with trucks or bombings. You know, it's not the guns. It's the evil that's in the person.
Yeah, interesting. You mentioned mental health. Let me point something out here. Whenever I talk with the other side, for example, on an interview that might be hostile to my position, you'll always hear, and Tom Hartman is renowned for this. Don't give me that about mental health. They have mental health problems in Great Britain, Australia, Japan. And he's right about that. He's correct. And you just acknowledge that. You're true. It's kind of like bourbon and whiskey. All bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon.
Yeah.
Not all mentally ill people kill people, but the people that we have found that do it do suffer from mental health issues. So you can't make that blanket statement.
Right.
The fact is, they're correct. If there was no such thing as peanuts, you couldn't have anybody die from a peanut allergy. If there was no such thing as bumblebees, nobody would die from bumblebee sting allergies. No cars, no car deaths. You can make that case all day long, but here's the reality of the situation. We do have peanuts, and we do have bumblebees, and there are cars, and we have guns in America. So to try to make this an argument about what other people don't do is a straw man.
Yeah,
we have to face the facts. If you're honest and you want to talk about this and really try to do something about it, don't attack me and start the conversation about I don't have an individual right to bear arms. You're wasting my time because I do, and I have guns. So let's get real and let's talk about what the problem is now and how we solve it. We have a terrible breakdown in this country.
Yeah.
Horrific.
Exactly.
This didn't happen when you were a kid. This didn't happen when I was in school. Why is this generation of 17, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old young men slaughtering their own generation? Why? Why is this happening? There were just as many guns per capita in America, maybe more, 30, 40, yeah. 50 years ago when this wasn't occurring. So we've got to look at, and I believe personally that when this chapter is eventually written, when this check is eventually cashed, we're going to look back and see a combination of things. The destruction of the family, the destruction of morals. When you combine that with this technology that is destroying interaction, real life experience. Both of my kids are in high school. My son just started his first year 2 weeks ago. Cool. I asked him, is the high school cafeteria noisy? He said, no, it's silent. Now think back when you were a kid, a high school cafeteria was the noisiest place
that's where you socialized.
Not anymore. Their faces are buried in phones. There's no more personal interaction. They're all buried in their Facebook or Instagram. They're not interacting with each other. This lack of personal skills is destroying something. And I believe we're in the midst of it, and we don't have the answers to it yet. But when we look back, we're going to see that this is a culmination of a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that we're powerless to get a handle on it, Pastor Bob. I don't.
Yeah.
I think the cat might be out of the bag. 24/7 media, instant access to this stuff is a problem, and we are seeing part of that problem now.
So do you think this is the new normal that we're facing?
I don't know. I hope not. I absolutely hope not. But I want to point a couple things out. With the terrible coverage that we tend to get when an event like this happens, and by terrible coverage, what I mean is the media going crazy, pushing an agenda. There's some numbers I want to give you because this gets lost in the fog that we don't hear. Since 2013, now we hear about everybody talking about banning the AR-15. It's a weapon of war.
Right,
it's a killing machine. It's none of those things. It's simply a rifle. It's a semi-automatic rifle. It's a civilian rifle. It's never been given to our troops, and it won't be because they wouldn't be able to survive with it. But I want to point some numbers out. 2013, the number was 285. 2014, the number was 258. 2015, it was 258, coincidentally. 2016, the number was 378. And in 2017, the number is 403. That is homicides by any rifle of any kind for the entire year, that given year, from the FBI. Not from the mind of me, but from the FBI. Now, let's look further into that briefly. Firearms that were weapons that were not guns. Hands, fist, and feet. 2013, 687. 2014, 682. 2015, 659. 2016, 669. 2017, 696. More people, almost three times as many, are beaten and stomped to death with hands, feet, and fists than are killed and murdered by any rifle at all of any kind in this country. And we don't get those numbers because the media hates the AR-15. They also never tell us, Pastor Bob, the positive uses of firearms that occur across this country every single day.
Yep.
And if the media covered those incredible human interest stories, the Lee County Sheriff, Florida deputy 2 years ago, who was being attacked by a black man on the street when a black man with a concealed carry permit saved his life and killed his attempted killer on the street that never made national news.
Yeah.
These events happen day after day after day by the hundreds, if you use the low-end numbers, thousands if you use the high end, every single day. And if the media covered this correctly, we would see a mass killing like we saw in Dayton and El Paso for exactly what it is. Rare event. Firearms are used by good, decent, law-abiding, hardworking, tax-paying citizens in this country to the tune of over 150 million of us every single day safely and responsibly to save lives. And we never hear that story. That's a tragedy.
And they're the politicians, they want to take away our liberty, our rights, if they think we are wrong. I mean, that wrong means we don't think like they do. You know, the politicians who advocate this thought police would probably say you, I, and other pro-Second Amendment advocates would be mentally unstable and thus give them the right to take away our guns simply because we don't believe like they do. And that's where they're trying to push it.
They're searching. This is not about crime. If this was about crime, they would be focusing on crime. They would have commissions set up. They would have task forces set up in Chicago, Baltimore, St. Louis. And let me remind your listeners, the true statement. Some people don't, you know, the truth is a harsh mistress sometimes. People don't like the facts. Facts can be stubborn and they hurt sometimes if we don't agree with them.
Yep.
But if you show me an urban central city in decay in America today, I will show you a city controlled and run by Democrat gun grabbers at every level for decades. I gave you my email address earlier, marketarmsamericanradio.org. Yep. Prove me wrong. No one can prove me wrong at this stage of the game. I've been saying that for years.
I mean,
if they cared about crime, go ahead, please.
Well, I was going to say, you started a campaign to end these gun-free zones. How's that being received?
Well, we've got movement. Thomas Massey is moving in the halls of Congress right now with a bill to stop gun-free zones. That's not going to get... We're not going to see the media talk about that at all. That bill won't get any traction right now. We're going to see Mitch McConnell come back in September, and we're going to have to pay very careful attention to what he's doing. On the other side, we got Representative Peter King, who I followed on an NBC News in New York report just a week ago, touting how, you know, his support in New York for background checks, et cetera, as a Republican. And we've got Peter King that just over the last several hours since we speak now has signed on to an assault weapons ban and support for eliminating these weapons of mass destruction, these weapons that belong on the battlefield that are neither, from Americans' hands. And I just gave you those numbers.
Yep.
And if he thinks that he can take 150 million, this is the most popular rifle in America. I don't know who, these people are just simply pandering and they're giving the mainstream media what they want to hear. He's pandering to New York voters, period.
Amen.
It's unfortunately that we're in this position we're in today with our politicians and the division. You said that is absolutely 100% accurate. The most divisive that we've been in this country since the Civil War. We're in a very dangerous place today.
We are. Mark, I know you got to run, and I thank you for taking the time to join us today. I'd love to have you back on again when we talk about more in depth. If someone, again, wanted to get in touch with you, to ask a question, get involved with your organization, or maybe even do an interview like this, how can they do that? Give us your contact information one more time.
Mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org, and follow me on that hateful place, Twitter, @AARMark, and you'll find out what's on my mind at any time I have the time to put my thumbs to work. I don't waste a whole lot of my time there, but I do a little bit, so you can follow me there. And join us at Second Amendment Foundation, please, saf.org.
Amen. And I'll be putting all the links to that in the show notes below. Folks, our rights as a freedom-loving nation are under attack, and they're under attack by those who want us to become a socialist nation. And we're being told, just let the government protect you. Well, we know how that works out. So I urge you to contact Mark and his organization. Get involved. Let's protect our rights that were given to us by our founding fathers. That has been the basis of this nation since we started. And now they're under attack. That's all the time we have for today. Mark, thank you again for coming on the program. I appreciate your time, man.
Anytime. Thank you, Pastor Bob.
All right. For Mark Walters and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity.
faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.